Hi, welcome to another Demo Time discussion. Today we're joined by Julia Schroeder, Head of Sales at Hotelestat, one of our expert partners. First thing to say is this audio was taken from a video recording we did with Julia, where she also demonstrates the Hotelestat solution. In this discussion, we examine a major challenge faced by hoteliers, explore some of the less obvious implications of this problem, and then look at a potential technology solution. As well as looking at the obvious impacts of the incredible amount of time that's wasted, along with missed revenue opportunities and overlooked cost savings, we also consider the less obvious impacts. For example, losing out to competitors who are moving faster than you, technology as a differentiator when recruiting and retaining staff, and the critical importance of reviews. We have included all the audio, but naturally you won't be able to see the screen share element when she is outlining the technology. If you want to see the video, the link is in the podcast notes, and we've also broken the video down into chapters for ease of viewing. Really hope you enjoy the conversation. Hey, welcome again, Julia, to one of our discussions. Great to have you join us. How are things with you? All well?
All very good. All very good. We are all busy, I guess.
Well, it's great.
Thank
start
you for
to
being here.
Hey, no problem at all. No problem at all. I do appreciate because I know when we were talking, you were saying the end of last year was crazy with the level of inquiries that you guys had had. So thank you for carving out some time in amongst your demos and business closing.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
So I guess today is quite timely, actually, because you know, as we look into the new year, the topic we're going to discuss has been a continual challenge for hotels, has increased rapidly over the last number of years, and is only going to continue to do so. Now, I'm not going to give away what that challenge is. You can do that. So thinking about our audience, who are typically general managers or with a focus on the commercial side of a hotel, so revenue, sales, and marketing. Okay, spoiler alert. Tell us what it is. What do you think is the biggest challenge for hoteliers these days?
I think it's not only for hoteliers, but it's for everybody. But I think the biggest challenge right now is the amount of data that we need to kind of look over in order to make sure that we don't forget anything, that we have the best of the best, that we make the right decisions. And at the moment, all this data is usually kept in silos, and you have one system here, you have one system there where there is great data, but you kind of need to combine it. Then you have your Excel files and your forecast sheets and this and this, and then you have one person usually sitting there and trying to make sense out of all this data. So this is I think a huge deal for a lot of people, a time consuming thing that you need to do, and sometimes we just don't have the time, right? We don't have the staff, we don't have the people need to do all kinds of other different projects because we don't have enough stuff. So this is I think a huge challenge that we're facing at the moment. In hospitality,
as you say, it's not just the volume, is it? But you make a point, it's where it's kept, it's the different applications. Yes, okay, we know of APIs and these things can talk to each other, but it doesn't necessarily mean that there is a consolidated space where the data exists and things can be done with that data. So you're right, it's a challenge we all have, but if we're focusing from a hotel perspective, and if we maybe look at narrowing this down a little bit and putting some context. So when you talk about volume of data and data silos, what is some of the typical data? What is some of the specific data that you're referring to in that instance?
I mean, on the simple side, we have to look at it from two sides. First of all, you have internal data. So everything that is kept within the PMS, for example, your ADR, your revenues, KPIs, whatever, all the stuff, your pays, the reservations, everything coming from the PMS. So this is one silo usually kept right there. So sometimes you connected that to a BI tool or something where you drag reports out of it. But still, it's one data silo. But then you have also the the external data silos because they're multiple. So for you look at benchmarking data, you look at rate shopping data coming for your competitors, for your hotel, looking at different channels as well from there. You make all kinds of sheets for demand and forecasting. You have also reputation data, right? Yeah, this is also quite important to look at where is your kind of scoring at the moment? Where's the quality of your hotel in comparison also to the ones of your competitors? And I mean, all this stuff, the web and e-commerce, Google Analytics, SEO, SEA, right? All these factors are really, really important to actually understand, okay, what is happening outside of my four walls and also inside in my hotel to make a understanding of, okay, where am I standing? Where do I need to be? How can I get there?
And you've got then all the web, your e-commerce, your social media, you kind of lay all of those factors into it as well, which are externally generated data sets, but can have a bearing and an influence on what we're doing day to day. And we have to make sense of those, don't we?
Yeah, yes, exactly. That's the thing. And I remember working in a hotel still that for kind of setting up a meeting for our revenue meeting, it would take me 2 days to actually prepare for it because I would take a report here, I would take a report there. I would sit there and kind of make like combine these two reports and then make sense of it. Like, oh, there was one group missing here. And last year we had this and this and this and that. And it took me just 2 days to actually analyze the data, to correlate it, and then to give actually feedback to the people that are interested in that knowledge to do that. So no, yeah,
that makes sense. So you've kind of indicated when you were talking about the challenge, you know, what is the biggest challenge as to some of the problems, but where is the industry at the moment that means that having this internal data and this external data is so challenging? We know staffing is a problem for everybody, so putting that aside for the moment, but just looking at the way that a hotel business, if we look at it that way, on the commercial side operates, what are the challenges of making use of all of this different types of data?
I mean, most of the hospitality industry are still working with legacy systems, right? Mm-hmm. That are not yet up to speed with technological advancements that we have. Mm-hmm. No API, they're on server based, and everything is just kept in there.
Yep.
So the information and the data flow is not there yet. So it really takes a lot of time to extract the data and then kind of correlate it together with everything. So it's really this silo thinking that we have.
Understood.
and then I mean, also making sense of the data, because you have people nowadays sitting in departments that haven't worked potentially in hospitality before, that worked in different segments and different branches and different industries, that don't have the knowledge yet. And to make sense of the data is sometimes also quite tricky, right?
Yeah, working out what's important.
Exactly, working out what is really truly the essence of what I'm seeing here. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned before, you know, 2 days for actually extracting the data and then making sense of it. Even I was a trained person, it's still, I mean, it's just too much. You cannot 2 days of me not selling the product that I'm selling. That's 2 days where I'm you know, losing revenue.
Exactly. Yeah, it's an opportunity cost, isn't it? You're missing out.
Totally, exactly. And then also because, I mean, we are living now in a world where the technological advancements, as I was saying before, like popping up like this. This is coming from everywhere. So everything is fast changing all the time.
Yep.
The data is changing more and more and quicker and quicker. And you have to look, okay, is there a new event coming? Is the weather a factor that is changing my roles? And everything is just, there's so much. And there is popping up new systems that can connect, that can help me. But I need to know that, right? I need to be aware of what is happening outside of this. And also then you have the more external factors that are changing, like COVID, like wars, like crises all over the world that are affected to me. So this is obviously also a challenge for me to keep track and to actually make amendments to my strategies in order to actually overcome those crises, right?
Yeah, and I mean, that's a key part, isn't it? Because we know that these things impact demand. Nobody disputes that. But responding to it, you know, if we've got to sit down and write and extract that data, write a report, then present that report, having analyzed it and the time to analyze it. You know, these things are moving at such a pace. Something else comes along almost, it feels like every week at the moment. And
exactly.
You know, the ability to react to that and adjust your strategies is just hugely, hugely challenging.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And we don't have most of the time, not the trained stuff sitting there. Well, hopefully we do, but at the moment we don't, and or mostly we don't. And so it's really hard to actually make sense of okay, how do I overcome this now? How can I, what can I do? So now, once we had this COVID crisis, we learned from it. We now know actually how to deal with it potentially in the future. But we had to make this experience first of all, right?
Yeah.
So yeah, that is really truly something that is a huge challenge, and we need to adapt to that. Yeah.
So listening to what you've said so far, there's two obvious implications of this existing data challenge or problem. So the first one is time consuming. Pulling the data together, analyzing the data, and then working out what you're going to do with it is one potential challenge. The second then, which is a byproduct of that time being focused elsewhere, is it means there's potential lost revenue that in a highly competitive world, you know, your competition may be in a similar boat, but they may have maybe more skilled people, or they may be slightly more automated in a certain way, or they may have already made an investment in technology solutions that now means they're picking up that business that you're losing. Yeah. So time consuming is one, potential lost revenue is another. But I guess there's, to me, there seems like some less obvious implications as well. If you were to draw attention to those, because you're dealing with clients all the time talking about this challenge, what are the things that you see that maybe aren't quite so evident, but when you dig under the surface, you start to understand, and they start to realize what some of the challenges are by not being further forward?
I think first of all, one of the most important challenge here that many hoteliers didn't realize or don't realize yet is that their competition usually is moving at another pace, faster.
Mm-hmm.
We have the big brands, we have the chains, and so on and so forth, that really, and also new brands popping up that want to be like the technological kind of for.
Yeah, they want to be like the we're the technologically advanced hotels or whatever.
Exactly, like, exactly. And then you have like the standard hotels that have been around for a long time, family businesses and so on and so forth, that always say, "Oh, okay, we always worked like this. Mm-hmm. It always worked out for us." But it won't. In the future, it will not work out anymore like this, because people, all the generations that are growing up right now that will travel, that will work, expect something different. So it's really, you have to look at your competition and what they are doing, and adapt to what they're actually doing, and make it even better, because then you have the advancement for them. Because their decision making is not as fast as potentially you as a single family business or small hotel, whatever, or a big hotel even that has just the GM and potentially an owner that are making
more
the decisions.
Nimble, aren't you, if you don't have all the policies and procedures of a large brand, for instance.
Correct, yeah. Correct. So you have now, or the hotels have now the advancement to actually adapt to the technological advancements that are out there, to make use of the revenue that is now potentially laying there and just waiting for you to pick it up there, more or less.
No, that makes
exactly
sense.
Yeah,
you touched on staff there seems to be a couple of areas in around the staff that would seem an obvious, not an obvious implication, but maybe something that becomes apparent.
For sure, because I mean, I call them legacy systems for a reason, and I've worked with them. I know exactly how time consuming that can be. Mm-hmm. And so if you take the staff that you have now that are potentially not trained yet, they're used to, you know, the technology that they hold in their hands. So everything needs to be fast. Everything they don't want to, you know, have the short keys all remembered in their heads in order to get this report or to check in a guest and do this and that. Yeah. They want to click and have the things that they need to have right there on a fingertip, and not to, you know, download something here, download something there, combine it and make it make sense of it. They want to have it right on the fingertip. So as I mentioned, this is a huge, huge factor to also gain new stuff, right? If you have the technological advanced systems on there, and you can tell your potential staff or your potential candidates, hey, I have the best systems out there. You can look at it. It's all the you know, state of the art, whatever. This is something that potentially will make the decision for the candidate to say, okay, I'm gonna work for this company because I don't have the workload that I had with my old employer, because they have the new systems.
Yeah, it makes sense. I guess it maybe elevates the role that they can be performing, so that they're not just spending a lot of time doing manual work. In a way, it also, you would think, possibly indicates the mindset, culture, forward thinking of that company. Most people want to work for those type of organizations. So in a competitive space for guests and for staff, technology obviously can have an advantage in those elements as well. What about in terms of one of the things we don't always, we look at the cost of technology, we don't always look at the cost of not having technology and how technology may actually save us money. And I know when we were talking about this, you mentioned one of the areas that you see is where people spend money.
Yeah.
So what did you mean? What did you mean by that? That's a less obvious implication, is actually where they spend money in the wrong areas.
They spend money on the wrong areas, that's for sure. So if you just imagine, if you use technology that gives you already great insight, let's take, for example, the forecast. So the forecast is done by your system, instead of you typing and, you know, having all the data there and trying to make sense of it. So a system makes the forecast for you, and it forecasts for a season that usually is low season, a high impact due to the pickup that it sees in the market, due to other things that it does see. You in the background are doing marketing campaigns through Google Ads, for example. Yep. So you're investing the money there, and you're investing that for exactly that time period that the forecast is already telling you, hey, you're going to be full there.
So you're advertising to fill space that is already, you're being told, is going to be full anyway.
Exactly. Right. So poof goes the money. You could have invested that in a different area for, I don't know, paying your staff or paying other bills, whatever it is, you know, or renovating
it
your
for
hotel.
A time when it's going to be a bit quieter. Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, it's just,
exactly.
Yeah. I'm with
exactly.
you.
Exactly. So this is definitely something where you can lose money if you don't use technology that tells you, hey, listen, this is what's going on. You need to be aware of. So it has to be kind of like a full circle. Everything that touches commercial needs to communicate with each other in order for you to be effective, to make the best out of your revenues and out of your costs and out of your budget. You know, so this is definitely something where the money is spent definitely wrong in order to
That makes sense. That makes
yeah,
sense.
exactly.
And I guess one of the other things, and you mentioned it earlier on in this conversation, when you were talking about different data sets, and you mentioned reviews, and it's an area that I think every hotelier recognizes the importance of them, and I'm sure they do spend a lot of time, but that in itself is also, I guess, time consuming as well. I mean,
oh, yes.
what do you see in and around that area as a possible less obvious implication of not having technology in place?
I mean, since I'm talking to hoteliers on a daily basis, the topic of reviews is quite controversial sometimes. I speak to hoteliers that are telling me, like, I'm not replying to any reviews because I don't have the time, or I don't see the advantage in replying to that. Mm-hmm. And I always have to tell them, listen, there's definitely an advantage, because me as a traveler, the first thing that I do when I'm looking for a hotel, I find a hotel, I look at the reviews, I try to kind of figure out, okay, what are the pros and cons for this hotel to stay there. So there is definitely, and when I see that there are negative reviews and they are not replied to, I think, okay, this is not the hotel where I want to stay, because my problems, they don't care about them.
Yeah.
Right. So this is the first thing that I'm telling them. But then I have hoteliers that I'm talking to that are saying, okay, yeah, I'm replying to the reviews every now and then because I don't have the time yet again, or I don't have the staff, whatever it is. Yet again, I have to explain, this is very important, because also the review score. So when you reply to the reviews, when you regularly reply, the score of your ranking within the whole market will increase as soon as you start to reply to the reviews. Mm-hmm. When you higher in the rankings, meaning you have a higher score, then you also, it has an impact on your price.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you can actually increase potentially your price in comparison to your competitors. So the impact there is quite huge. And if you don't have the time to do that, there are systems out there that can actually help you with replying to reviews, right? So for example, within Hotelistat, we do have this review reply assistant, but there are also different other systems that can help you. You can also just use different kinds of templates, but this is what I'm saying. The more you kind of vary as well in the replies, the more you kind of make it longer and reply in a good and formal way, the better it is actually for your ranking, for your scoring.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And
yeah.
I think and you mentioned your solution, and one of the reasons that we've got you on here is you're also going to show us
yes.
And now in a moment we're going to switch across, do some screen sharing, and you're going to show us your solution and also try and indicate how there's this correlation and where the thought process for the development of Hotelistat has come from, and
yeah.
where this correlates back to some of those obvious challenges, but also
yeah.
some of the less obvious challenges. So what we're going to do now, let's just do a quick screen share and we will get into it now. Brilliant. Okay, we can see that. I'm guessing this is the dashboard. your landing page, or where you first come in, yeah?
Correct. You guessed right. So this is really the dashboard, which I explained already, can be super flexible.
Mm-hmm.
What you can do, I just wanted to show you, you can switch into dark mode and light mode to make it a bit easier for your eyes. We will leave it on light mode for this demo, for
Makes
this quick
sense.
Demo, but you can switch around What you can also do is if you, for example, a multi-property company, you can switch between different properties here. And you can also switch between multiple competitor sets. So you can set up in your admin section different competitor sets so you always know what you're actually comparing with and seeing.
Very good. So we're going we'll come back to this dashboard as like a summary at the end. So let's kind of work. Take us across some of the different sections. When we were talking about this, I said pricing comes next, but you said I want to do that last. So you want to go to intelligence. So let's go to intelligence.
Right. Let's hit it with intelligence. Go so on. Intelligence, as the name already said, is really your kind of spying tool into your hotel, but also into the market. Okay. Since Hotelistat, as I explained, is combining internal and external data, so from your PMS, but also from market data, you would use the intelligence in terms of that to look into the data that you have at hand or Hotelistat has at hand. Mm-hmm. And first of all, you have the overview with everything that needs to be known with room types, what's your occupancy, all these beautiful things down here. So this is kind of like a dashboard in the intelligence itself. You can add all these beautiful little widgets as well to your dashboard if you want to. Who doesn't love a widget? And obviously, what is also important is that you choose the time frame that you want to look at the data, right? So what time frame do you want to look at? Do you want to compare, for example, as well to a different period? So some people want to compare this month against last month or this month 2023 versus 2022 and so on and so forth. So you can also set this up here, and then you just go through the different reports that we have here. For example, in the market positioning, we have a report called rate structure. I love this report because every time I show it to clients, I'm so excited about it every time, because what you can see here is basically we are mapping the room types of your hotel against the room types of the competitors. So first of all, this is also important so you understand actually what are you doing, what are you comparing with to really compare apples with apples. What is my room type that is really comparable to the room type of my competitors? This is kind of like a homework always for the hoteliers, because they usually don't do that.
Here's hotel ABCD, not room type ABCD, so to speak, for that comparable.
Exactly. So what you do then is really see, okay, my hotel, so this is the demo hotel, but I can go into any other of my competitor hotels. But basically, you see the room types and what is the lowest price, what is the highest price. And the darker the color gets in the background, the more often this rate is offered online on, oops, I'm sorry, there is a new version available. Okay, let me dismiss this very quickly. This is how fast we...
this is a real life demo.
Exactly. So, So basically, the darker the color gets in the background, the more often this rate is offered on the OTAs, on the online booking agents. So you know actually what is the basic rate of this hotel for this specific room type, and where can I kind of compare myself with, right? So if this hotel in the studio loft is selling, their standard rate is usually 233 euros mm-hmm. for the loft, and I have a comparable room category, I know where I can potentially go with my rate, because I know, okay, I have my studio is a bit bigger and it has a Yuva coffee machine or whatever it is, yeah? So I can sell it potentially a bit higher.
Gotcha.
Okay. So this is really a cool report. Yeah. And then we have parity check, right? So you want to understand, are my channels, are my OTAs selling the same rate as they should be, or do they do any price cutting, and so on and so forth. So you see that here, comparing, you know, Agoda, Booking.com, whatever it is, my own website, if I want to. So I always see where price cuttings are done. So let me move in here a little bit more. So I understand exactly what is happening on the channels, and am I really selling to the right at the right price?
Yeah.
And the OTAs, for example, as you can see here, this is a great example of this when this happens in the demo, because you can see here one page booking is the IBE of this specific hotel, mm-hmm. and then you see the OTAs and you see the rate, €162 for the comfort room, and then HRS is comparing. So this is according to, so I would always need to set up my filter up here, but you see exactly what is going on, that your for the specific day, where is it, there it is, for this specific day my room is much higher, much more expensive than on different other platforms. So I'm not sure where it was, but it was right there. Anyway, so this is always a great tool to understand what is going on. Then I mean, you have cancellation.
You got loads of different reports in there.
Loads of different other reports. So also PMS analytics, right? Conversion tracking, lead times, the pickup. This is also very important. I just had one potential client asking me today, like, or in a forum, hey, where can I get from the PMS the pickup report? I can't find it. And I was like, isn't your RMS not showing it to you? And she was like, oh, no. And so basically, I was like, okay, good. Let me open this door. But pickup obviously is very important for all the hotels to understand what is going on in the hotel, full year analysis, the business mix, you know, what is my segmentation, and so on and so forth. Then there is something coming up with cost control. Obviously, that is very important in terms of, okay, where are my costs? Where do I need to go? How can I actually, you know, improve my costs and improve my revenue in terms of, for example, the commission that you pay to the OTAs, other cost factors, and so on and so forth, events and holidays. There is an event and holiday color, and this is something very special that we wished for a long, long time, a report builder. So basically you can build your very own report on different data sets that we include. So this can be internal versus external data, and so on and so forth. This is all in the intelligence.
Excellent. I know Aris, which is the next one along, we're also going to come back to.
Yes.
The next one is commerce. You're building that one out at the moment, aren't you?
Correct. Yeah. So this commerce is, so we had that already in the old version, and we want to make it even better in the new version. That's why it's still in progress. But basically, this tool is able to, so you connect it to your Google Analytics data.
Right.
We get the Google Analytics data and feed it, first of all, to the AI, right? So the AI always understands what is actually going on your own website, how do you perform in terms of digital marketing, and so on and so forth. So this is coming in commerce. I mean, then the future there is basically to, I mean, automate different things. For example, this is just me blabbing, but for example, once you figure out what your forecast is for a specific time frame, and this is what the tool basically does for you, and you know that you will be fully booked, you don't need to, you basically don't need to push any further campaigns on Google, right? Because you're forecasted to be full, or potentially can cut down on the costs of the campaigns for this specific time period or day, and push it for different times. So again, we really want to go into this total revenue, cost controlling, and so on and so forth. So this is a huge part, and this is definitely something that we are looking into and optimizing that.
Makes sense.
Yep.
Next one along, reputation, a big factor.
Yes, a big factor. So
and
this
also,
is,
I just read something. So is this to, sorry, I'm jumping, is this to do with reviews and,
Correct.
And I read yesterday, I think it was yesterday or this morning, that there are a number of the major companies are kind of coming together to try and eliminate some of these fake reviews. So we know fake reviews is separate to just reviews generally, but this whole the whole review bit is a really big important piece that is often
it is
not overlooked, but probably not looked at quite as much as it should be.
Yeah, that's something that I had to learn working in hospitality tech. Mm-hmm. Because when I was still in hotel, for us, the reviews was like, it was always super important. We would sit there and answer each review and you know, thank people for leaving the review. If it's good or bad, it doesn't matter. But mm-hmm. you learn basically from this. I mean, you could always, there were always people that complained for no reason.
Yeah.
You would always have the fake reviews and so on and so forth. But after a while, I think you figured out how it works. And then I came into a hospitality tag and I learned that a lot of hotels either don't have the time or they just leave it out, mm-hmm. which I think is really nice. More. Yeah, it's insane because you get so much information out of it. You kind of can be a step ahead of your competition. You can do so much better. And what the most important thing is about reviews, I think, which many people still didn't realize, even though it was a topic for a long, long time, is that the review score that you have on different channels can actually impact your price.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the higher you are in terms of the review score, whatever it is, in comparison, for example, to your competitors, the higher you could price, right?
Yeah.
So meaning whenever the person is going onto the website, and I think we had that in our first session as well,
mm-hmm.
You go on TripAdvisor or Booking.com and look for a hotel, I don't know, in the Swiss Alps, and you see, I don't know, a five-star hotel with a rating of 89, mm-hmm. just like this one, and you have a four-star hotel with a rating of 95, and the four-star hotel cost me 400 francs, mm-hmm. and the five-star hotel cost me 390 francs.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how it should be, right? Because my hotel, the four-star hotel, was ranked much higher, and it is the potential that somebody would book a four-star hotel in comparison to a five-star hotel is much, much higher, I would assume, yep. right? Because the ranking is much higher, because people see the quality of the hotel. They see, okay, a four-star hotel has a higher quality as a five-star hotel. This is just an example, right?
Yeah, but so I think you're right.
Why not go?
I think it addresses two factors, doesn't it? It's like as a consumer, if you're trying to decide between one or the other, you're looking for additional information. If the review score is better, even if it's not four, five-star hotel, but two, four-star hotels, same location, they have, one has a ranking of 95, one has a ranking of 89. I'm going to probably lean more or at least go and have a look at the reviews on the one with the 95. And that may, so even if the prices are comparable, they end up getting my business. They get my revenue. The other hotel loses out because their reviews weren't as high. But to your point as well, you know, if that 95 compared to 89 as a ranking is able to charge 405 euros as opposed to 400 euros,
yep.
it doesn't sound like a lot. It won't necessarily mean a lot to me, 5 euros, but multiply that by the number of days, multiply that by the number of rooms, and that is
correct.
Money straight to the bottom line. Just exactly. by focusing on your reviews. Yeah, it is a very interesting area.
That is exactly what it is. And it's how we see it as well, right? It's not going to be 30 euros on top. Well, it depends on the market. It depends on how your competitors are. But usually it's just nuances.
Yeah.
And these review scores also are added into the AI. So the AI will check all the time, okay, how is your review score comparing to the competitors and how it developed over the time and what is actually reviewed bad or good and so on and so forth. So this is all added up in here. And what you can see here basically is, first of all, always an overview. You have also all the reviews coming through all the channels, right? Okay. We are connected to everything that you can imagine that has a that has a review. You see it then in the language.
You can see the review, right? Okay.
You can see the review. Let's choose this one. This one is now in German. I can also always translate it if I'm English speaking. I can always translate it into English then.
Okay. Yeah.
And what I can do then basically here is, and I love this really much, I can click on here. I can tell the system the tonality of how I speak to my guests, especially when they tell me.
Let me just pause. So this is actually, we are talking here about it helping you come up with a response.
Correct. I just wanted to tell you what it is.
Wow. Okay.
This is really a response tool for your
MPs. Yeah.
Within the system. So you basically tell how you're gonna reply to this. You have different tonalities.
Just scroll up a moment for me there. Did it say angry?
Angry, yes. If you want it angry, you can do it angry. So, I mean, I don't think anybody wants to, but some hoteliers asked for it, so we edit it. Whatever floats your boat
absolutely.
You know, it also says you're kinky, so...
Let's find an easy one for the person.
You want kinky?
Let's find something less. Yeah. I don't know what it'll come up. I'll have to put a ranking on this video.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, no. So let's do sympathetic and in German because we want to reply in German. You click on generate response and basically just how you know it from ChatGPT, from any other, you know. A generating tool, it will then give you a response. And you see there are only two sentences in this review with a long title, but the system will look at everything that the guest wrote. So in this case, it was the ambient of the room, great breakfast, very nice staff. And then he complained a little bit about the price, that it was a bit high. Mm-hmm. So then the answer is really, hey, I'm very happy that you like the ambience and you like the staff and the breakfast. So going into this, what was positive, but then it says, hey, we're sorry that the price was a bit too high. We always try to have a good price to service ratio kind of thing, you know, it's always subjective, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's really a nice, let me turn this into English so we can actually understand what the what the tool says so we can regenerate it.
I'm sure there's some German viewers that got a lot from that.
Oh yeah, of course. But I think in English it's done. We understand that our price might be higher compared to somebody. We apologize for this. We continually strive to provide a value for money, you know, and yada yada yada. Yeah. Right. And then it will sign into your name. But you can also amend it if you want to. So basically you can write your own text. So sorry about that, whatever it is, right?
Yep.
And we have a direct connection to booking.com, to Google, soon also Expedia. Hopefully Expedia and Holiday Check, and you would be able to publish it directly into that channel, so you don't have to actually log in into booking.com. Correct. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For all the others, like TripAdvisor, like I don't know, hotels.com and whatever, you can copy it and and paste it into the other system.
Oh, I got you. Okay.
Right. And then you have some analytics. If the customer slept, for example, in a different one of my competitor hotels, it will show up here. And if they left a positive or negative review there, and you can also share it with your colleagues, right? If there is a complaint about F&B, you can just say, hey, I want to share this with our F&B manager and type in, hey, what happened here? Did the breakfast not go well or whatever? And comment it, and the colleague will get this email. And
also
can
something good,
this.
Isn't it? They're talking about the staff. Nice to share that around and say, hey, look, well done, guys. And, you know, use it as a, because we always look on the negative side, don't we? It's always about what are you doing? But actually, a lot of the times people are happy. I mean, we don't
exactly.
You always end up with more moany reviews normally than good reviews.
Usually, yes.
Yeah.
But I always like to share also the good stuff. Then you're totally right.
Yeah, no good.
And Obviously, because we are an automation tool as well, you can also automate, obviously, these responses within a strategy. So you can tell the system, hey, if I have a good review, please answer in this and this way automatically. So the system will do that. But for example, I want to review all the reviews that are below 80%, for example, of rating. And make it myself or do it manually, whatever it is, right? So you can automate this way as well. And since you, when you automate things, you kind of get lose touch of what is actually happening. So basically, we have that as well. So you have all the sources, but also you see the sentiment analysis of this whole thing, right? What are people writing about you? What is happening in which category and so on and so forth. So you always know what people are actually complaining about, what is reviewed as good or bad, so you don't lose the touch of your own product.
Yeah, and it's good because, as you say, reviews, you'll always get the person that moans just because they're trying to get a discount or they're just a moaner or whatever it might be. But if people genuinely give you feedback, it's a good way of improving and areas for training, or maybe that, you know, it's continually talking about the quality of the product. So it might be showing there hasn't been, you know, might help you justify if you keep trying to push for budget for some refurbishment or whatever it may be.
Exactly. That's how it is. That's exactly what it is. And I think it's very important to not lose the touch, but also see, okay, what is happening with your competitors here? So you can do the same thing for your competitors. You have all kinds of other different reports in here.
Very interesting.
Keyword comparison, if you want to compare keywords in a specific order with your competitors, right?
Very good. Very good. A lot to dive into there, I would be sure.
It is. It is.
Okay, next one along, social media. What's that all about?
The social media. So as you can imagine, or as we all work today, social media is a big part of our daily life. Mm-hmm. And for hotels, this should also be the case. So I have still many, many hotels that say, hey, I don't do social media because I don't have the time. Fair enough. I totally get that. Then I shouldn't do it. But there are also hotels, they say, yeah, I do it. And you log into their accounts and they post like once or twice per week or per month. Mm-hmm. They post something about their new menu or whatever, things like that. But social media should be about, you know, influencing people into coming to your hotel. And why would they come? So inspiring them to come to your hotel. And once you do that, obviously, this is a huge revenue stream, or could be a huge revenue stream for you, especially now with improvements. And I think Facebook is now doing hotel bookings as well. I read something the other day. So there's always, you know, movement in that sense. Mm-hmm. And you could do a lot of revenue, of direct revenue, especially when you have a nice Facebook or social media channel where you post all the time great things about what is happening in your hotel, what is happening in the region or locally in the city and in whatever it is, right? So you inspire people and tell them, hey, you should come to my place because I have and I don't know, the best view of the Alps in an infinity pool with whatever, right? So people really crave to come to you. So, and this is why we say social media should be also a part of this whole revenue commercial part. And what you can see here, sorry for this. So we don't, we connected our Hotelista Facebook page to this. And as you can see, we're not good at it. We are rather in LinkedIn. And this is also something that we are looking into to connect. But anyway, Facebook and Instagram.
So you've used yourself as the example as a hotel. Yeah. They would obviously be a lot more on Facebook, on Instagram, and they would just link their Instagram feed into this as you've linked Facebook into it. Yeah,
correct. Okay. So they would have also Instagram info here and Facebook info. You would see trending posts, which I really like. Especially when you are on your own in the hotel, you don't have an agency that that does that for you or whatever. I think this is a great tool to actually get a hinge of, oh, wait, what is going on? How are my competitors posting? What are they posting? What are the top postings that they do? And so on and so forth. What is their rhythm? like I always said to my boss when I saw this the first time, is because I did that in the past. I did social media in the past, and it was always tough for me to actually come up with content and good content, right? Yeah. So this is a huge thing. And with this, it kind of makes it a bit easier because you understand, okay, what is actually happening in the market? What has been posted, and what is actually trending at the moment, and what can I actually adapt to myself? Or kind of, you don't copy, but you get influenced and inspired by your competitors, by your market, and so on and so forth. And as you remember in the beginning of our demo, I said that you can set up different competitor sets. Mm-hmm. And this is really crucial here, because you can set up a social media competitor set saying, okay, I want only the best social media hotels in the world or in my region or in the country, whatever it is, that are doing a great job. I will set them up here and see, okay, what are they actually doing, and
so
what can I do
for
myself?
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that means once you're inspired, you got like the groove there.
Yeah.
You will also see a peak or increase into direct bookings as well.
Very good.
Right.
Very good.
So this was social media.
Okay. So we've looked briefly at the dashboard. We'll come back to that. We've done intelligence. We've done commerce. We've done reputation. We've done social media. So one that's sitting there right in the middle, the yellow one, Aris. What is, because all the others make sense to me. Aris doesn't. So this must be something unique to you guys.
Yes.
Right.
So Aris. Aris is really something special. I think we talked about it as well in the past. Aris, mm-hmm. Is our automated revenue intelligence system. So this is where a lot of AI things come together, and where you can also give the AI kind of your own touch with it. So as you can see here, we are in the tab of revenue strategies. So within this, you can set up actually your very own market and rate strategies. Mm-hmm. So you can set up different definitions. For example, this is the Orient rate at market. So look at the market rates and compare with that. So you have different definitions that are coming together that you set up. It's kind of like an if-then scenario. Mm-hmm. So when this is happening, then this should be done.
Yep.
So this is how it works in the background. And these are the strategies that are then shown to you in the pricing section. So this is your own gut feeling.
Okay.
You remember,
right.
We talked about the gut feeling.
Yep.
So this is where you set it up. So weather-based pricing, that you say, hey, if the weather on the weekend is good or bad, then I want to increase or decrease my rates. Then you have a different strategy for low and high season, for winter, for example, and so on and so forth. So you can set up all these all these strategies here. Then also the recommendation kind of in a similar way.
Mm-hmm.
So you set, you basically tell the system, okay, within my recommendation, I have, I'm positioned in the market here. I want to, you know, in the low season, I want to have a rather lower rate and rather orientate on my own occupancy. But in the high season, where I am like the fourth, the winner of the market, I don't care about anything that the competition is doing because people are still coming to my hotel and booking any rate. I want to, you know, go above and beyond. So mm-hmm. you can set it up. You can set up also room recommendations. So recommendation per room. So each room category will be priced differently with a different recommendation.
Right.
So in that instance, for example, if your standard rooms are performing or are in higher demand than your premium rooms, then you should also sell your standard rooms potentially higher than your premium rooms because mm-hmm. of whatever reason there is, right?
Yeah.
And so you have different things that you can set up here with an Aris contract quotation, group quotation tool. So you look at the prices how should I price the specific group that I got an inquiry for, and so on and so forth. So there are different things that are in Aris that you can set up to Actually, first of all, let the system understand your specific hotel a bit better, right? And you, what you want to do, but also to kind of, you know, have different angles on it. So, right, seasonality. This is totally up to your hotel. This is the tool will see how the seasons change and when the price demand is high or low. So this is one thing, but due to you can tell the system already up front, right?
So this is your kind of strategic area then, yeah?
Yes. Correct. Okay. This is where you pull the strings, where you look into the brain of the AI, basically.
That makes sense. And you said obviously this, the ARIS and your strategy, as we know, that starts to influence your pricing. So,
right.
I can now see why you wanted to do ARIS and then do pricing, because. So show us how that then comes together.
All right. So let's jump into pricing. And once I've set up different things within ARIS, they will be also shown here. So let's go bit by bit. So what you see here is basically in the first table, our holiday density, also something very unique to us, as we show you how many people potentially are able to travel on the specific day. And we divide it also by countries or by states, whatever it is. As you can see here, for example, 1st of November is a holiday in different countries in Europe. And for example, in Germany, France, Austria, and so on. So many people, and not all people in Germany, for example, have this specific holiday, the first of November. So you see that not 100% of the Germans are free to travel. So this gives you great information, for example, during summer season or high season, when is actually the peak of your high season? Right. When can you expect to have many people travel? Anyway, so this is something shortly here. And then we talked about pricing and ARIS and how things are. So first of all, we have to go to this part, which is our rate chart. So this is our regular rate shopping tool. As you can see here in a chart, so you see your prices in comparison to the competitors that you have, and you see in the background also your occupancy of the hotel. So this is that, and as you saw, I turned off and on this little tooltip here, where you get a little bit more information about overbooking, how much capacity you still have, do you have potentially out of order rooms, and so on and so forth. You would see overbookings as well here flagged in red, or optional bookings also flagged in blue. So you have this information right here. And then Philip, our CEO, his dream was whenever he got this information, and here we come back to this time-consuming little pieces of work that you do on a daily basis as a revenue manager, he would look into this and he would see, okay, so basically, my competitors are selling much higher than I am. My occupancy, let's take this day, for example, my occupancy is already quite well. So I want to increase the price for this specific day. And what he would need to do is switch to another system and type in the rate there, potentially go also to the channel manager, type in the rate there and to PMS and type the rate in there and then, you know, push it or whatever it is. So what we did here is basically you can switch the price directly within Hotelistat, and this is how you do it. So you click on the rate, first of all. We can manage any rate that is available in the PMS. Right. So you click on the rate, you click on this eye down here in the derivation table, and every derivation is popping up that is connected to this specific rate. And what I can do then is I can basically just drag and drop the rate where I want to have it,
right?
And this is it. And you can do it for multiple days. And this is how you change your rate manually. This is one way to do that. This is kind of like the first step within Hotelistat. And then you can push it back to the PMS. So easy peasy, just as that, right? Yeah. But what you also see here is a dashed line.
Okay.
This dashed line is our, is in this example, as you can see here, the winter strategy that we set up before. As you saw in ARIS, we had a winter.
Right. Okay.
Correct. So you had your, you set up your strategy. You want, for example, I'm not sure what it was in the winter strategy, but basically you said, for example, okay, during the weekends in winter, when there is the Christmas market, I want to increase my prices or whatever it is. I don't remember. But basically then Aris is calculating this strategy with kind of the price of the strategy and will show it to you in this dashed line. And what you can basically do the same way how you do that, how you did this, is you can push it either fully automatically into this into the PMS, or you can also amend it. So basically, you tell the system, "I want to actually accept this." So you would have a button, and you would say, "Okay, I want to accept this strategy and push it back to the PMS." And then you can still, and this black line that we amended just now will be on top of this, and you can still amend it and say, no, my gut feeling was not well there, so I want to decrease the price. You can still do it.
So let me just understand this then. Okay, so the dotted line is the Aris recommendation. You could then go to accept it, which then makes the dotted line a black line because now that's your pricing. But then again, if you're kind of thinking, I still feel a little bit, I was hesitant about that price, you can then just drag down the black line to where you feel more comfortable. And it might just be 1 or 2 days that you still feel not sure on. And that will just automate everything from that point onwards.
Correct. I'm glad that you understood everything that I said. That makes that makes me happy, and I hope that other people also understood what I was saying.
Interesting.
But it's exactly that.
Because I think that's the thing. You often think of a strategy, but you're always second guessing your strategy, aren't you? Because you're constantly evaluating it, and so going and making it automated makes sense from a time efficient point of view. But there's just, it's a bit like me, you know, with these driverless cars. I think I'm a long way from being able to get in a car and not be sitting behind the wheel, even if I'm not touching it, or getting a car where there's nobody there and I'm sitting in the back seat. I'm not quite sure I'm ready to give all of my confidence to a machine yet. And I could, I could understand that around your pricing of your hotel, you might like to be able to put some strategies out, get recommendations. You might like to have it automated so you're not having to go in and change everything, but then having that chance where you can say, well, actually, at this point, I want to take the wheel because I want to take us around this corner because I'm not 100% sure. And you can then be back in control for those little moments. That's that's pretty smart.
Exactly. And I mean, the revenue manager, and this was a huge problem in the past, the revenue manager can go on vacation, they can just set up everything they want think is important for this specific time frame. They automate it and they can go on vacation and have a peaceful vacation instead of always like logging in and seeing, okay, what happened now. And so this is the basic life of a revenue
manager. So basically you guys have just developed this so in the past you could have had a holiday.
Yes. Correct. Well, I will not have holidays because I'm trying to, you know, persuade people that that this tool is a great
previous
invention.
Life, anyone revenue managing would have loved this. They could have had a proper holiday.
Yeah. Yes, this was basically what Philip's dream was, and then now he's selling this dream to the competitors. To the competitors. I'm already drunk. No.
Very good.
No.
Very good.
Yes.
And so just one of the things that often comes up in the conversation about recommendations is just this, back to that fear of the unknown, you know, AI, machine learning, you know, robots taking over the world. But it's like, but I don't get it. Do I really need to know about it? You know, if I'm driving a car, I don't need to know how the engine is put together. It just gets me from A to B. I just know it kind of works. But there's a point at where that trust has built up over time with the combustion engine.
Yeah.
We're still a little bit skeptical about pricing recommendations.
We are.
But you,
well, not me.
No. No. But then there's something, I know when we were talking before, you've mentioned something around, you also got some context
inside
around.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
okay.
Yes,
so
we
what
do.
Was,
we
what
do.
Was that about?
So, because exactly what you just said, people are still not trusting all the systems all the time, and they think, "Hey, I my gut feeling is much better," or "I want to understand." So basically, we build a bridge around that, because I know that feeling sitting there and having the feeling like I get the recommendation and I sit there and I'm just thinking, "What the hell? What is going on? I don't agree with this price. I would like to understand why this recommendation was done." And in the past, it was that really that annoying way of picking up the phone and asking people, like, "Hey," or asking the person on the other side of the line from the system, "Hey, how did this price come up? Like, how was it calculated? I don't understand. What is the logic behind it?" And obviously, some people will not tell you because it is the secret sauce of the system, right? But others will then say, "Hey, we saw this is the historical data, and this is how the price came along," and whatever it is. But you didn't know for sure. Mm-hmm. And what we did is basically we built in the dashboard. So there is part of the dashboard is our so-called insight feed. Mm-hmm. And you will not see much in here right now because this is a demo hotel and sure, we don't push any prices at the moment anywhere because it's not connected to the PMS. But you would see in the inside feed everything that needs to be known of the hotel, including price updates.
Okay.
So when the system does any price updates and you want to understand what is happening, there is this button, price update. So as you can see, nothing is happening at the moment because we are not connected. But you would be able to have or you will have a button here. Mm-hmm. Where you can click. And the system will explain you exactly in kind of like a prioritized way, tell you exactly how this price came across. So, for example, it will give you the information, okay, I increased the price by XY euros or points because of this historical data, but also I saw that your competitors increased their prices, so I increased the price by 2 euros. Mm-hmm. I decreased the price again by potentially 2 euros because your review score is not so high. Mm-hmm. But then I increased it again because the weather on the weekend should be nice, and so on and so forth.
So it takes all of these factors in and is evaluating the risk and reward of increasing, decreasing accordingly against those different factors.
Correct. And then you will understand exactly how this price came along, how the system actually calculated the price. So we will not show you 1,000. So we are, because the system will look at 1,000 features,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
We will give you kind of the insight
of
like
summaries. Yeah.
Exactly. It's a headline summary, and you will understand that makes you, first of all, as a user, more trusting the system. Mm-hmm. Also learning about which factors are actually important in which period of time and so on and so forth. And it gives you just a better feeling, I think. So this was really our wish, to give the user that still not trusting systems, still not trusting AI, a better understanding how it works and how it should work, well, which factors are important.
I think a lot of hoteliers just want to run their hotel, make money, make profit, keep their guests happy, keep their staff happy. You know, they don't want to have to do a course in algorithm or machine learning or understanding AI. You know, it's like let the people that know about that stuff develop it, but maybe it'd be helpful to let me understand at least some of the decisions it was making that came to that conclusion, and then I can learn to trust it over time. Yeah, interesting.
Exactly.
Very interesting.
This is how it works, and this is what we wish for a long time, and also our customers wish for a long time, to just get a better grip on this and understanding on this.
Makes sense. If you just take us back to the dashboard quickly, and then we'll bring you back. We'll bring you back in a moment.
Yep.
So
there we are.
I mean, obviously, we've taken some of the areas we've dived into a little bit more, such as around the reputation, the intelligence, and the pricing piece. But again, I mean, I could see on there are lots of other areas and reports within there. So it's multifaceted.
Yes.
To try and to try and keep this as something that someone can consume and can see the value of it, rather than something they need to sit down for 2 hours and get a training course on.
Yes,
we're doing a bit of a headline view, but ultimately, what you're then able to do, if I understood correctly, when you were saying about pulling widgets together, is you can then put all the core bits that you want to keep an eye on into your dashboard. So when you are when you log in the morning, when you come in, your core bits are there. So just very quickly take us through the headlines, what you've set up here as like a demonstration piece.
Exactly. So obviously there are lots and lots of widgets that you can add. And as I said, in some of the modules, you can add different widgets that you see also to the dashboard. But what I set up here is basically all the important information, for example, in the PMS. So what is my ADR? What was the revenue and so on and so forth? So this is something that I want to know. Usually I get this in a manager report every morning, print it out and put into my on my table or whatever it is, you know. So this is one part of the information. You can also add different information about the review status, about the pickup. You know, you want to you always get a pickup report as well, potentially print it out and put on your desk every day, or sent via email. Or some people have a huge Excel file where in the morning somebody sits and puts the pickup information into this Excel file. So you have a pickup widget here as well. You have a pickup report in the intelligence, but we want this to give you just a quick overview of what is going on in terms of pickup, what was on the books. We can put in the budget, the forecast, whatever it is. So you have this really as a GM, as a revenue manager, as a sales manager, whatever it is, already here. And as I mentioned, there can be anything. So you can add really different charts, different widgets into the dashboard. And we wanted to create this dashboard as flexible as possible, so these little things can be moved, can be made bigger or smaller, whatever it is. So you can work with this and start your day, and you know exactly, okay, what is going on? Where do I need to work on? And how is my day going to be?
And I guess as well, those reports are printed off maybe the night before, or they're printed off in the morning, put on the desk, but that doesn't necessarily mean that's the first time you get to it. Now, you may not get to see it for a couple of hours because you could be out, whatever, or with a very important guest that's come in. So then by the time you come to that report, not a lot may have changed. But on the other hand, a lot could have changed. So it's now out of date. Whereas if you come and log into here, it's kind of there, isn't it? Real
it
time.
Is. Yeah. It is exists exactly. And what you can also set up, obviously, because you want to stay informed within the inside feed, when we come back to that, you can set up alerts as well, or within different sections of the tool, you can set up different alerts. So you always are alerted about things that are happening in the hotel or in the market. If, for example, one of your competitors is decreasing the price by 10%, this can have a big impact on your hotel, but also on the market. Yep. So you want to stay above that, right? And you want to be informed. And how better to do that than with a tool that is actually a watchtower looking at the data all the time, like 24/7, right? So you don't have to do that manually. Okay. So the tool is really about giving you the best insight, the fastest insight that you can get, when you want it, the amount that you want, in the way you want it, and so on and so forth. And because you mentioned that, and I think that's very important as well to potential users or whatever it is that they say, oh, I like this tool, but it's really massive. I mean, first of all, this is all modular, right? Okay. So this is very important that all the modules can be put together the way you want it. So you don't need to use the all-in-one if you don't want to. You should, because this is where the whole thing comes together. Exactly. This is how the magic works, but you don't have to. And what I think what's also important is that we, so this, what you saw is like the total thing, the whole thing, the big big tool. Mm-hmm. But you can also switch into an easy mode. So for smaller hotels that just started with revenue management or with other things that don't want to have this overload of things that they see, they can switch into the easy mode, which is yet again here. Mm-hmm. Right, so pro and easy mode. So you turn this off, and there will be a lot less
like
information.
A stripped down version that makes it much easier.
Exactly. Yeah. And you can switch it on and off yourself. So we don't. This is not a feature or whatever that we sell. So you have a kind of like a watered down tool.
Yeah.
It's really about how you want to work with Hotelista.
So it could almost
you start in
the easy mode. First off, to get used to it, understand it, so it can be, because I guess when you make an investment, you want to start seeing the return on that investment.
Right.
But if there's a lot of learning, if you feel there's a massive learning curve to get to that, that can prohibit you from making that first step.
Correct.
So if you go into easy mode, so at least I can start to see some things, make some decisions, helps me identify actions I need to take, then I'm already feeling like I'm getting a return on that. And then at the same time, I can start to learn a bit about the system, but I'm already in and acting and working with it. And then I can, when I feel more comfortable, I can switch to pro mode, so to speak, and it's all there. Yeah, that's a neat feature. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very good.
So yeah, that was hopefully a good sneak peek into the system.
Very good. Well, let's bring you back.
Yep.
I can see how utilizing, a solution like Hotelistat to bring together all these different data sets into a single source, first of all, could really help hoteliers. I mean, I think what struck me through there was, you know, I could kind of envisage the amount of time that must be spent either as a GM, if you're pulling it yourself, or if you've got staff that are generating reports from all these different tech solutions that we've got that all operate independently in silos. So I'm getting these reports, then I've got to consolidate them, then I've got to make that efficient and actually give me something that's effective that makes some sense. I could see how not having to go through that just as a time-saving exercise, I would think, would be advantageous. But I think what really struck me, and, you know, I am biased to any technology, you know, in my personal life or private life or business life that makes life easier for me. But what I liked about this and these kind of tools is that not only does it pull it into one place, which brings that efficiency, but, you know, utilizing that dashboard, it helps me to think through what are the real metrics that are important for me in my role to understand and be on top of every day. But it kind of puts me in that kind of helicopter view where I'm kind of looking above, looking down. I'm overseeing what is going on in my operation, and then enables me to be much more targeted and much more focused, kind of, you know, sniper-like in terms of what actions need to be taken, where the efforts, I need to focus the efforts, and where those resources need to be allocated. I think for me, in a world where, you know, we're struggling with staff, we've got high guest expectations, you know, we're all trying to put our rates up, but we've still got to be able to deliver what the guests want. It's constantly shifting. Social media is shifting. Reviews are shifting. You know, it's just so dynamic at the moment that to try and manage all those moving pieces in different areas just might be a nightmare. Yeah, it's very interesting. But anyway, that's my overview. I like, but then as I say, I'm biased. any final thoughts or comments from your side?
Yeah, I mean, I think you summarized it already quite well together in terms of, okay, what were and are the challenges for hoteliers at the moment? They lack in staff, they lack in knowledge, they lack in putting data together in the right way. And I think that challenge was seen by the founders of Hotelistat, and they tried to actually develop something that will help the struggle, because the founders were there, I was there, you know, we all worked in these circles all the time, putting together different reports, putting together meetings and so on and so forth, where you would sit there and look at data for a long, long time in order then to have a meeting that was only very, very short. So this is something that was really the dream and the focus of Hotelistat, to basically get everything together in one place and make it easier for people to understand what is actually going on in my property and in the market, right? And compare it to each other. Because knowing what is happening in the hotel doesn't mean that the same thing is happening outside of my hotel four walls and kind of mirroring the same how do you say,
well, the scenario, the same process, the same, yeah
exactly, yeah. So yeah, these are my final words for this.
makes a lot of sense. As we said, you know, at the beginning we identified where the challenges are, is bringing that data together, and we looked at what the obvious implications of that would be. But then some of the not so obvious with regards to, you know, as we said, with staff and motivation and lost revenue and all of those other factors. And so I think being able to pull that together and see how this could be advantageous, I think has been certainly, hopefully for those listening and watching, very, very useful. I personally found it very interesting, but then, as I say, I am biased, so you know, I kind of not have to have this. I have to make sure I don't have this conscious bias or confirmation bias, whichever one it is. It kind of says, yeah, okay, this is good stuff. But I think it was really good, and I really appreciate you taking the time to sit through and talk through the challenges that hoteliers face, and from you guys who are part of Hotelistat, you know, you've sat in those shoes, you've been hoteliers. This isn't just some crazy technical idea, you know, this is born out of your own frustration, so you've lived it, you've breathed it. So yeah, sharing the time and showing us how it works is really appreciated. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Trevor, so much for giving me the opportunity to show it and to hopefully get a lot of frustrated people out there the idea of, oh, there are solutions out there to help me to get rid of this frustration and to work really efficiently.
That's brilliant. Thanks again. You take care.
Thank you. You too. Bye, Trevor.
Well, I hope that conversation was of interest, and thanks again to Julia for joining us. If you have any thoughts or views on this discussion, please feel free to reach out. You can contact us via our social channels, or you can email us via insights@revenue-hub.com. If you like what we're producing, please do subscribe through the podcast channel you're listening to. And if you want to see the interview, you can find it on the Revenue Hub YouTube channel, and the link is in the podcast notes. Anyway, until next time, thanks for listening.